Okay, well, good evening and welcome to our village board meeting. Monday, March 11th at 7 o'clock. If I can get the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Also, I need a motion to allow Bob to join the meeting remotely due to work.
Sure. I'd like to move to allow Bob O'Connell to attend the meeting virtually based on his employment.
Second.
Very good.
Okay. Trustee Bachner.
Here. Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
I've done that.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Pretty funny. Okay, if everyone can stand, say the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, great. All right, I think we've got Margie, right? Okie dokie. Thank you. Yep. Okay, great. Margie? Is that on? I'm sorry, Jessica. Can you make sure that it's on? Okay.
Oh, okay.
It should be on.
There. That's fine. Margie Secunder, 500 Block River Oaks Drive. I'm speaking again about important timely issues before the village and its commissions that were communicated in the March 8th newsletter that circulated to the village as a whole. And I'm addressing misstatements regarding Lake and Lathrop and proposed zoning changes. The newsletter states a dry cleaning chemical was moving through our sewer system. In 2009, Tetra Tech found significant contamination adjacent to Lathrop, quote, moving along the sewer line, end quote, not through our sewer system. The newsletter also says the IEPA, Illinois EPA, stated no further remediation would be needed with a link to the letter. The link is to EPA's approval of Pioneer Engineering's February 5th, 2021 addendum to the investigation and remediation plan. The plan requires concrete barriers and vapor barriers to address soil ingestion and outdoor inhalation and roof venting, all to be installed during construction and to include protections for construction workers and preventive and institutional controls. After completion of those, quote, a remedial action completion report will be submitted to the Illinois EPA to address a focused NFR letter, end quote. New quote, the eventual NFR letter issued for the remediation site will be used as an institutional control, end quote. The NFR letter shall be recorded. No NFR for remediation was issued. Interestingly, Lake Lathrop LLC hired and paid Pioneer Engineering to investigate, develop, and execute the remediation plan, according to Pioneer's January 2020 amended report. Contrary to the newsletter, the village has paid for services and legal fees for Lake and Lathrop for years, including village attorney fees, staff time for reviews and oversight, cleanup costs, outsourced and in-house sidewalk repairs, recording and legal fees, among others. Second, regarding the board's request to change the zoning codes for the four commercial districts, the newsletter again misstates its intent. The board's intent is not to simplify regulations and clarify zoning codes. Rather, it is to signal River Force has weakened zoning codes so developers can build tall, dense housing with little concern for residents, including those in single-family homes. Quote, adjusting height maximums, end quote, is intentionally misleading for raising building heights to 65 feet in most districts and 50 feet along Madison Street. Zoning codes are safeguards to protect the quality of life for all residents. We know the playbook. A commission, in this case the EDC, drafts a plan for change, holds quote, public meetings with little notice with the supposed intent to collect resident input. The village board then has the appropriate board or commission review the changes for recommendation to the village board. When residents complain, they are told their concerns were included, regardless of whether they were, that they had ample time to express concerns, that there are village processes in place to protect residents, in this case, the DRB, and then trustees vote for the predetermined outcome. Development at all costs is a result of a tax burden on residents from pension and healthcare obligations, nearly $1 million a year for the Northside sewer loan, moving up earlier the alley replacements, and creating more TIF districts. TIFs collect property tax increases over 23 years to transfer taxpayer dollars to developers, like at Lake and Lathrop, while taxing bodies get squeezed, so taxes on all other properties rise faster than without TIF districts. Trustees need to do their due diligence, correct misstatements, and advocate for all residents. How would you feel if a 50 or 65 foot building was going up near you? If you wanted development, why didn't you, the village, consider developing the massive Priory property? Thank you.
That's all of our citizens' comments. So we'll get to elected officials' comments and announcements. And we'll start with you, Erica, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I don't have much of anything else to include this evening.
Okay. So. Thanks. Okay. Lisa?
I have nothing to say tonight. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Rez?
Everyone's so quiet.
Yep.
Good evening, everyone. I do have some report. Both Kathy Ducey and I attended the mayor's Metropolitan Caucus on the Age-Friendly Collaborative. And basically, there were three presentations that were made. One was from AARP regarding their resources available on their website. And it looks like they're trying to become more active again, which is good to see, because there was a time in which it looked like they were stepping away a little bit. We had also another presentation from the Illinois Department of Transportation regarding a funding for cycling and bike paths. I'm happy to say we're sort of ahead of the game on that, but other villages are still trying to catch up. And then there was also a presentation of PACE's vehicle program that we should probably look at to see if it's beneficial for us. I'm not sure at this point what the costs are and the pros and cons of it, but it's basically the theme of this last meeting was transportation and how we can provide transportation within our village or villages. I know we've been working a little bit with our townships regarding some of our transportation for our seniors, but this seems to be a little more expanded, but it's something to explore. So that was it.
Thanks. John?
Nothing further. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I'm pleased to say that we've selected a date for this year's Juneteenth flag raising.
Good.
And it is Monday, June 17th. It will be held at the library at 11 a.m. So we'll ask that the village put it on the calendar and people clear their calendars to try to attend. And more will be forthcoming on that.
That will be during the day?
11 a.m.
11, you said. I'm sorry. Okay, great. Thanks.
And then I wanted to follow up on Margie's comments about the NFR remediation approval and ask Matt, I don't know if you are prepared to speak on that or explain how we justify those two, the information that went out and the information that she just gave us.
Sure. So what was included in the newsletter was correspondence from the Illinois EPA back in June 2021 that approved the remediation work that had been completed thus far. The remaining work that needs to be completed to receive that final NFR is the construction of the property. This is not atypical. When remediation needs to be done, a plan is submitted to remediate the property. And oftentimes when a site is going to be developed into a building, there would be the construction of that building is the final step of that remediation.
Okay. All right. So we don't have an NFR yet, but we wouldn't until we have construction. What, ongoing or completed?
Completed.
Completed. We wouldn't get that until the building is complete, whatever the building is.
That is correct. And we have correspondence with EPA regarding that as well.
Okay. Thanks.
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Bob? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll finish with Bob and then I'll come back.
Okay. Thanks. I want to follow up also, Matt, you were, I've had a little bit of experience in that area. And so you were correct in the way that you stated that. I want to take a step back and address the comment of Mr. Kander on the costs that the village has spent on this project at Lake and Lathrop. Number one, as part of our fee, which we collected for the building permit on this, that was offset by that offset many of the costs for inspections, plan review, and other items. Matt can go into the whole list of what our plan review process is, but we collected a nice permit fee for that. So it's not that, you know, that the village was totally out money on those things. We did recoup some monies. Then you can take and you can break this down into various sections of the project, the initial redevelopment agreement, the ongoing, costs to maintain the RDA and make sure that we're in compliance. You know, many of those costs were associated. So I don't know that it's fair to ask for, you know, an audit of that is, because I think you then need to balance what we receive versus what it costs, number one. Number two, you know, some of the work that was done there, you know, if you want to break it down is, you know, we had this permit, we had this project going on. There is some opportunity costs that were there. There are some opportunity costs that were lost. And I think, you know, I think it's part of the business cycle. And so, this was not a total loss to the village. You know, again, we did collect some pretty hefty permit fees there. As it relates to the zoning and the rezoning, a couple of things. Number one, I was on the EDC, I guess it was 6 or 7 years ago, and we put out an RFP for the property on Madison Street. We also put one out for the property at Lake and Park. And to a person, the developers that came in, which there were very few of them for a number of reasons, came back and asked for relief from the height of our zoning ordinance. The cost to build buildings has gone up dramatically. People see that in the cost of building homes. It's on the news every night. And so as, you know, over the course of 6 years, this has been an item of conversation. As it relates to the current activity, I don't have the exact date, and maybe Matt, you can share it with us, is this process started, I want to say back in June or July with the EDC and having conversations. So this was not an item that was thrown on the agenda last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. There have been several public hearings advertised on this, and people attended those. So to state that this is something that's being rushed through is not the case. It has been the source of a lot of conversation. And again, I think we have to maintain our maximum flexibility in terms of being able to address the needs of what we can do with properties while not impacting the residents. And so this is not a slam dunk deal. There's thought going into this, and current business conditions are going in also as it relates to, you know, how we're going to approach these zoning changes. So those were my only comments.
Okay. Yep. Thanks, Bob. Lisa?
Thank you for coming back around.
Yeah, no worries.
I just wanted to let everybody know that on April 13th, the River Forest Bike Exchange is back at Roosevelt Middle School. It's a great event planned and executed by the residents, all resident volunteers. The police will be on site to do bike registration. You can just come and register your bike, or you can come and swap the bike out, or you can just drop off a bike in any bike tasks that are not, that remain at the end of the event will go to working bikes. So it's a great deal overall. It's something that continues to grow every year and is a great way to recycle and reuse. Thank you.
Lisa, did you say the times for that?
I don't have the times. I think it starts at like 10, 9 or 10, and it goes till about 1.
Thanks.
I actually have a question. You made me think of this about bike registration. When it comes to the like the electric bikes, are those, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Are those supposed to, do we have any policy around that?
Yeah. You should register.
Yes, I believe that they should register.
Okay.
I don't think we treat them any differently per our code. Yep.
Okay.
The cost, it should be the same, right?
Got it. We should probably just take a look at the policy and see if it mentions it specifically. If not, it might be worthwhile.
All right. All right. Well, I will do the state of the village.
Okay.
All righty. Well, good evening, and again, welcome to our village board meeting. And thank you for joining me tonight for our annual State of the Village address. I first want to say it is an honor to serve as your village president and work with our dedicated village board of trustees and our highly qualified staff who all work together to see through the many different projects and initiatives for the betterment of our community. River Forest is a place that we all call home, and we are very fortunate to have true professionals on our village team. I want to thank Village Administrator Matt Walsh and his entire team for the generous and highly capable volunteers who share their time and talents through our many boards and commissions. Together, we are continuing our progress. This is truly a wonderful community that has so much to offer. Before I share with you the many accomplishments over the last year and what we all have planned moving forward, I'd like to talk about some of the special encounters I've had with our residents that reinforce my love for this great community. I live right next to a park, as many of you know, and I love to look out onto to see our community members enjoying the beautiful recreational area, one of many in River Forest. Recently, I saw a father and a son on their bikes, both wearing their bike helmets, which is something we strongly suggest for everyone's safety. And then I saw one of our police officers, who also was on a bike and wearing a helmet, approach them and gave the little boy, a young boy, a certificate for a Slurpee, a program that we created to encourage and reward our young people for practicing safety by wearing helmets while biking. I was close enough to see the boy's face, and there was a big smile on it. I know that that encounter with one of our officers made a real difference to that young boy and his father, and it reinforced the important behavior for safety of all. I've also been honored to recently visit a number of third grade classes at a few of our elementary schools to talk with young people about public service. I've told them how we all give back through serving River Forest to continue to strengthen our community. Whether it's our safety and security from our police and fire departments, how we have clean drinking water and strong infrastructure, including our roads and sidewalks through our public works department, and all of the services that happen behind the scenes that continually improves our quality of life. I could see in their eyes and through their questions that they recognize the importance of serving something greater than themselves. Maybe I even encourage some of them to run for village president someday or serve the community in another way as adults. Planting these seeds of thought in our young people is very important and something I really thoroughly enjoy doing. Our seniors are another important part of our community, and I've heard from them time and time, as well as even from their sons and daughters, about the challenges of wanting to keep them in their homes. We support programs through River Forest Township and Northwest Housing Partnerships that provides free home safety modifications, such as grab bars, chairs, and sofa lifts, non-slip strips, for showers, railings, ramps, and much, much more, all to make safety modifications so that our seniors, they can, with assistance, age in place in a place they call home. For those that are in need of assisted living, we have the Sheridan, which is a top-notch family to care for our loved ones who want to stay here in River Forest. All of these experiences are really what's all about, what it's all about for me. The engagement, the responsiveness, and listening to the needs of our residents, ensuring that the village does everything in its power to address, support, and serve our community members wherever their age or phase they are in their lives. Now I'd like to share with you a recap of highlights over the last year and what we have planned for 2024 as we continually reinvest in our great community. This includes safety as a top priority, continuing to strengthen our property values through quality of life initiatives and doing everything we can to stabilize our property taxes. The safety of our community remains our top priority. Providing a safe community begins with one of our most important resources, our first responders. I am proud to say that our police and fire department are fully staffed thanks to the leadership of Police Chief Jim O'Shea and Fire Chief Tom Gardner. Being fully staffed enables our departments to quickly respond to emergencies while limiting overtime, and that certainly affects our budget as well. It can also affect the work-life balance challenges for our police officers and firefighters. Our police department continues to host quarterly safety meetings, which were created to provide an open forum for community members to ask questions, comments, and address concerns while updating and educating residents on our ongoing crime prevention efforts. I invite you to consider attending one of these quarterly meetings and become engaged in our community's safety. Over the past 12 months, the village successfully negotiated a new contract with the Fraternal Order of Police in just two bargaining sessions. This contract allows us to remain a competitive and attractive destination for law enforcement professionals and enables our personnel to professionally advance through ongoing training and education. The police department continues to put emphasis on the importance of training. In 2023, officers completed nearly 6,000 training hours, which included use of force, legal updates, instructor certifications, domestic violence, emergency medical response, school emergencies, and many other topics. Officers received more than 900 hours of training that covered procedural justice, ethics, impartial policing, and how to assist citizens in a crisis. We are committed to addressing the mental health crisis in our community with compassion. In addition to using the federally and state funded 988 7x24 crisis line, our officers partner with the Thrive Counseling Center in Oak Park, who will provide the professional social work and counseling needed to address a mental health crisis. We do not intend to recreate the wheel by employing our own social workers, but using the professional organizations that are already available to us. The department also continues to stress the importance of its officers' well-being. In 2023, a peer support group was created and wellness room was established for officers at the department to ensure they feel supported. The fire department has also focused on ongoing training and education over the last year, both for staff and residents. Our firefighters are grateful to be working with the recently acquired training prop that simulates fighting a fire, enabling personnel to practice hands-on skills in-house. The CPR compression device, another recently acquired tool, saved six lives over the last year. The CPR training program has also expanded significantly with nearly 300% increase in students who received CPR and fire safety education last year alone. The village continues to invest in technology. In today's environment, police departments rely on technology to assist with crime deterrence and investigation. Our village board has continued to support this initiative through the approval of the north expansion of the street camera system this past fall. With this phase fully installed, each portion of the village is now safely and more comprehensively monitored. Last month, we approved the purchase of body cameras for all of our police officers, which will hold them accountable as well as provide more footage to assist with criminal investigation. Our police department received $60,000 from a grant to help offset some of the costs of this purchase. Our traffic study is complete and has provided many safety benefits. The first village-wide traffic study was completed last fall. Our engineering contractor reviewed hundreds of resident surveys, crash and speed data, and compiled it into a comprehensive report. This included a traffic calming toolbox, which will be used by our Traffic and Safety Commission to evaluate resident traffic concerns and help determine needed changes and interventions to make our streets safer and more easily traversable. Thank you to the Traffic and Safety Commission for their continued dedication and hard work in confronting this challenging topic. Engineering solutions for safety are only as good as the enforcement that backs them up. I'm very proud of our police department for receiving the first place in Illinois Traffic Safety Challenge from the Illinois Association of Fire Chiefs. This important accolade highlights law enforcement agencies that make a significant difference in the communities that they serve related to public safety on our roadways. We continually strive to strengthen property values through a high quality service delivery. The Village's Sustainability Commission, under the leadership of Chair Simon and Trustee Gillis, has partnered with the University of Illinois at Chicago's Department of Urban Planning and Policy to create a climate action plan. This plan will help to steer future initiatives in the areas of renewable energy and reduction of emissions. It aligns extremely well with the Village's participation in the electric vehicle readiness program that supports the use of electric vehicles to reduce emissions from traditional vehicles. Over the last past 5 years, EV usage in our town alone has grown nearly 500%, and we want to keep that momentum going. Last year, the Village Board passed an ordinance prohibiting the use of polystyrene, a harmful product commonly used in food packaging. This joins our single-use foodware ban as yet another proactive way to combat the serious issue of increased waste that ends up in our landfills and waterways. We also joined forces with the Villages of Oak Park and Broadview and a nonprofit organization, Seven Generations Ahead, and the Urban Efficiency Group to create the C4 Collaborative, which brings together communities across income lines to share ideas, secure resources, and drive large-scale projects within and across communities to achieve greenhouse gas emission reductions, equity, and sustainability goals. I'm very pleased to report that there are 15 municipalities that have joined C4, and we have secured nearly $1 million in funding from the state and federal governments since our inception to address the important initiatives and issues around environmental justice. We are always working to serve and support our senior population. Last year, the Age-Friendly Advisory Committee presented its final report to the Village Board. Thank you to Trustee Vasquez for his leadership on this initiative. These dedicated volunteers analyzed community survey results and researched best practices to create a comprehensive guide for our village to follow in regard to aging population. I'm proud to share that the results of the survey largely indicated that our town is a welcoming place to age in. However, there's always room to improve. This report has driven our focus on improving accessibility at our intersections and sidewalks, and we have applied for grants through AARP to install benches in our town as prescribed by the report. The final age-friendly report will be shared with our community in next week's e-newsletter and on our social media pages, so please look out for that. We continue to ensure River Forest is a welcoming place for all. Last year, our diversity and equity inclusion, I think we're off on that, there you go, advisory group continued its progress with a consultant that specialized in organizational strategy that looks through a lens of equity. A survey of village employees was completed, along with a review of our policies and processes, and recommendations for considerations are currently being explored. I would like to thank Trustee Erica Bachner, Trustee Ken Johnson, Village Administrator Matt Walsh, and our HR Director, Trish Ivensek, for their leadership on this topic. The village looks forward to the advisory group's final report. We continually work to strengthen our infrastructure. Last year, the village completed our alley improvement program and upgraded every alley in town with permeable pavers to sustainably reduce flooding. We were able to utilize a $90,000 in funding from Cook County to help offset construction costs for this important program. This year, we are turning our focus to upgrading our sidewalks, thanks in part to a $100,000 grant from Cook County. We pride ourselves on being a walkable community, and we want to ensure our pathways are safe and accessible for all residents and visitors. This effort resulted from one of its primary goals identified in our age-friendly report. We seek out collaboration to improve quality of life in our community. Many of the challenges that face our community require the collaboration of neighbors and area government bodies. I am pleased to note that the rusty and defunct CTA water tower removal project has finally been authorized by the CTA. and we expect the project to begin this spring, hopefully. Thanks to Senator Don Harmon for his support, to Forest Park Mayor Rory Hoskins and Forest Park Director of Building, Planning and Zoning Steve Blinke for their focus on removing this eyesore that is visible to many residents from both towns. Further east, we have resumed our partnership with the villages of Forest Park and Oak Park on exploring safety improvements to the Harlem Viaduct. River Forest is the lead agency on the state grant worth $250,000 for additional engineering studies, which will enable us to apply for large-scale construction grants that will make this project become a reality. Finally, the village continues to work with the Village of Elmwood Park on a joint project to beautify North Avenue corridor. This project is currently in the planning phase and is expected to include additional landscaping and improved pedestrian experience, as well as drainage to prevent water pooling and flooding. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity has set aside $21 million to assist us in funding this project. We will be hosting an open house for residents to learn more about this project this summer and be sharing information about this, and of course, on our village communication. Another exciting quality of life initiative that will impact the daily lives of our residents is through our online Water Smart portal. For those of you who are not aware of it, the portal allows our water customers to closely track water consumption and set up alerts when their usage appears to be too high. I have spoken with many, and I mean many, residents who have discovered leaky fixtures and were able to solve them or resolve them before being surprised by huge bills. At the best part of this program is it's free and it's easy to use, which is why more than 500 residents have already registered for it. You can register at any time. I encourage everyone to do it. Please look for an instructional video that we'll be sharing through our communication channels that will help walk you through how to use it. And it really is very easy and handy. So hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we'll have something out on that. Similarly, we are actively working to improve our existing software by using an online, easy-to-use application on your phone or laptop for receiving and responding real-time to your requests for services, from missed garbage pickups to streetlight outages to FOIA requests and much, much more. Our community members are our eyes on the street, and we appreciate being informed of any issues, nuisances, or challenges so that we can respond and address them as quickly as possible. The village is also working to identify all lead service lines within River Forest as part of a commitment to meet the requirements of the Illinois Lead Service Line Replacement and Notification Act. Our staff is currently gathering information and taking all steps necessary to identify lead water services throughout our community. Please look for communications in this week's e-newsletter and social media on how to help gather this information to move this project forward. And as with any grant opportunities, we are seeking them out to help fund this initiative, and there will be more news to come on this topic. Communication and transparency always remains our priority. Myself, our village board of trustees, our village staff, and our communication service provider are very focused on ensuring the village communicates often and comprehensively to our entire community. For the last several years, we have distributed 4 e-newsletters every month, and our total subscribers at this time is nearly 4,000 in a town of nearly 12,000. That is very substantial. But I believe we can do even better. If you're not currently subscribed to our e-newsletter, I invite you to do so by visiting our website at vrf.us and clicking on the Get News and Alerts, where you'll also find links to our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Nextdoor. So be sure to follow us and stay updated on the village's news and updates. It's really quite compelling, the news that gets out in the social media pages. I have to admit, I often brag to my fellow elected officials how engaged our residents are, as evidenced by our industry-leading 69% open rate for our e-newsletter. We remain committed to transparency and informing our residents and business owners, and I hope that you all will encourage your friends and neighbors to get connected with the village through our robust digital communication. We continue to make many steps to stabilize our property taxes. Last year, the village performed the demolition of the village-owned properties along Madison Street, a project that was fully funded by a $350,000 state grant. After years of marketing these existing buildings for adaptive reuse, we determined it would be best to market the property if it were cleared for new development. The site is approximately 39,000 square feet and open for new opportunities. This space is an excellent spot on a commercial street right at the gateway into River Forest. Currently, our Economic Development Commission, under the leadership of Chair Brown and Trustee O'Connell, is reviewing a draft copy of the request for proposal, also known as an RFP, that the village will send to our brokers with goal to gain widespread interest in the property. We are very excited about the possibilities, but timing and patience will be important. All of this and the process we intend to follow is available on our website, brf.us. To attract vibrant economic development, the village recognized it was time to evaluate our zoning restrictions. So beginning in late 2022, and as Bob, Trustee O'Connell mentioned, the Economic Development Commission began analyzing them. With the expertise of our resident volunteers and our planning consultant, newly proposed codes were created to align with current market expectations. And we strongly believe this effort will help to grow our tax base and provide for additional housing that will be affordable to new buyers. Proposed changes would apply to four commercial districts and simplify regulations to encourage new business and development. These include adjusting height maximums for buildings, decreasing residential density requirements for lot areas, and easing parking restrictions. These proposed changes are currently under consideration by our Zoning Board of Appeals. And once that review is completed, it will be presented to the Village Board for consideration. The next phase for Lake and Lathrop is the court-appointed receiver for the property at Lake and Lathrop, Ascend Real Estate Group, along with Wintrust Bank, the property owner, are continuing with their plans to market this property to prospective developers, and they are currently negotiating with parties on a potential contract. There are two legal hearings in the Cook County Circuit Court scheduled for later this month, and any sale would be subject to the approval of the courts. The village will always maintain the authority to approve or deny any proposed project in this important commercial area, and we will ensure any proposed project aligns with our vision and contributes positively to the Central Commercial District. I know a balanced budget and a strong credit rating is extremely important for municipalities like River Forest. Growing our tax base is only one factor that helps to stabilize our property taxes. We also need to be disciplined and fiscally responsible. I am proud to say that the village has continued to adopt balanced budgets consistently for the last 16 years, and thus have maintained a strong credit rating, which provides an array of financial benefits for our entire community. As you have already heard me mention, we continue to seek out grant funding and have been quite successful in doing this. The village is extremely grateful to our legislators for their continued support in making us aware of funding, as well as getting us funding. The health of a municipality is not just how well we balance our budget, but how we do it and how we fund our various operations. For instance, we have fully funded our capital equipment replacement fund known as SERF. This fund allows us to ensure that we have up-to-date and working equipment for our employees to use on behalf of the residents, such as, but not limited to, police cars, fire engines, ambulances, street sweepers, public works trucks, etc. We have also fully funded our capital improvement program fund called SIP, which allows us to improve and invest in technology, software applications, and our public owned buildings. I'd like to thank Finance Director Rosie McAdams and her entire team for all of the administration for their continued support toward fiscal responsibility and helping to make River Forest an affordable place to live, work, and play. We would not be able to continue providing the highest level of service without the assistance of our strategic partners. I'd like to thank our partners at the Illinois Municipal League, West Central Municipal Conference, and the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus for their tireless efforts in advocating for towns like ours. The advocacy provided by these groups, as well as the efforts of my fellow board members, have been noticed. Aside from grants I mentioned, I am pleased to note that our legislators continue to provide assistance directly to River Forest. Thanks to Senator President Don Harmon Majority Leader Senator Kimberly Lightfoot, Speaker of the House Chris Welch, and State Representative Camille Lilly for recognizing the value of our projects, which address the needs of our residents and our greater community. The projects I've mentioned have received more than $1 million in grant funding, and we are not stopping there. Our staff continues to work with the state officials on funds that have been appropriated directly to River Forest for fiscal year 24-25 in the state budget. This includes more than $1.1 million for general infrastructure improvements directly to River Forest and over $22 million in shared grants. In closing, I want our community members to know that you are in good hands. Great hands, in fact. Through a team of individuals on our boards, commissions, and committees, our staff, and of course, the dedicated work of the Village Board, who are working every day to support, strengthen, and continually improve our community. We truly have something special here in River Forest. And I thank you for taking time to hear about all we have done and all that we plan to do for this beautiful community of ours. Thank you so much. Thanks.
If I may, can I add a few words?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I'm really happy because we're here almost every month dealing with these issues that are on our agenda. I can't speak for everybody, all the trustees here, but I do lose track of all the accomplishments that we've made, and I'm very proud that we're able to do a lot of this. And so I thank all of my colleagues on this board. I also do want to thank all our staff. They're incredible in putting all this work together. I know we sort of ask a lot, and you guys put up with a lot, but you also produce a lot. So thank you for that. Thank you for our police department. Thank you for our fire department and our public service people. You're all terrific. I also want to thank all of our residents, too. I mean, you guys always come up with suggestions. I would even say criticisms that I would take as positive. And so I know we all do appreciate your comments. And also, even though I am so happy that we've accomplished as much as we did, I'm also not blinded on the fact that we can improve. So we will keep on doing as much as we can besides what we've done. But there is one person that's missing from this speech, and that is Kathy Ducey, who has been our president for a while, and you have done a lot. I am very proud of the fact and have witnessed how you've worked with our legislators in getting a lot accomplished, working with the IML, working with the West Conference, and all our respective municipalities and mayors. So I think that's always been a plus from my experience in government. It's always good to be collaborative and working with others as well. So whether that's the private as well as the public, of course, our community. So thank you for all you do as well.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's hard work, but it's nice work because we've got great leaders in the state house to work with and at the federal level too. So it's all good. Great, thanks. All right, real good. Then I will go ahead and we'll ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through L.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through L.
Second.
Okay. Any questions, comments, corrections?
Yeah, Kathy, I have a question.
Yep.
On item J, Matt, I don't know procedurally how we do this. It's in reference to the request for a handicap placard for the 1400 block of Bonnie Brae. Is there some way to tie that handicap designation to the resident, number one? And number two, if and when that resident moves, is that handicap placard taken away?
You know, Trustee O'Connell, I'm not sure that... we've done in the past for removing those when they're no longer needed by the new residents.
Okay.
We don't get the request very often. I think we do have a list of where they are. We could potentially, you know, revisit that every so often to see if they're needed or if there are concerns from the neighboring residents about a lack of parking or potentially some residents that will move into that home often don't want those because they can't park in front of their own house. Right. If there's a handicap placard and could request it. I'm not sure if we've done that recently, but that would always be an option.
My bigger concern is that the availability of the placard for the resident that's requesting, you know, it starts to get a little busy up there. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'd like to make sure that we're able to fulfill the request and make sure that it sticks. So I don't know if it can be tied to, you know, his handicap placard number or something. Just a thought.
That's a good point. That's something we can certainly look at. Attorney Molina has some ideas, so we can talk about that. I know there have been instances where the requests have been received, even though there's a, you know, a parking driveway right there for the residents, and depending, there's some conversation back and forth with staff when they come in, so it's not necessarily automatically comes to the village board. So there is some due diligence on our end to make sure that it's necessary or be a benefit to that resident, but we'll look into ways to improve that.
Great, thank you.
Matt, have we ever gotten complaints about somebody who has one of these in front of their house and they haven't been able to use it?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. You mean because they don't park, because somebody else is parking there? Oh,
I think that's the point.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, I see.
Somebody else might use the handicap spot and then it's not available.
Exactly. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, right. Yes. I'm not aware. I'm aware of the other side where they've gotten one and then they didn't use it and they let it go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But. And I would also be careful about removing it in front of a house, just because if somebody needs it, they may have made changes to the house that are like ADA compatible. So the next people may have the same.
Good point.
Right. All right. So you all will, we don't change anything. You just will modify or address. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Right. Very good. All right. Any further questions or comments on the agenda item? I mean, the consent item? Okay. Hearing none, then I'd ask the clerk to read the items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, February 26, 2024. B, Village Board of Trustee executive meeting minutes, February 26, 2024. C, accounts payable, February 2024, $1,697,198.98. D, February financial report. E, administration department report. F, monthly department reports. G, Women's History Month proclamation. H, purchase approval, automated license plate reader system, Minutemen Technologies. $55,275. I, safe built contract renewal, plan review and inspection services. J, accessible parking space request, 1417 Bonnie Bray ordinance. K, award of contract, 2024 permeable paver maintenance project, Old World Brick Paving, $52,992.50. L, approval of zoning map ordinance. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes, please.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have no other items to address at this meeting, so take a motion to adjourn.
Katie, I just want to let you know that the River Forest Bike Exchange is 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Thank you.
On Saturday, April 13th.
Super. Thanks.
All right. Great. Okay. That doesn't change as I just said. So we need a motion to adjourn and get a second and we'll adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Right. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
President Ducey.
Yes, of course. Yep.
Trustee Vasquez, did I get you already?
I think we're adjourned.
We're adjourned.